Hello and welcome to the Building Tech Teams podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Liam Donoghue. In this show, I'll be chatting to hiring experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own careers. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us on SoundCloud, iTunes or Spotify. Or you can join our Slack community. Thank you. Enjoy the show. Hey, hello. You're listening to another Venturi's Voice podcast. Welcome if this is your first time listening. Our guest today is Nitsan Marinov, a senior Salesforce systems manager at The Challenge. Hello, Nitsan. Great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Yeah, we're going to be talking all things Salesforce today. But to get started, could you give me and the listeners an overview of your career from your first position up to today?
Oh, wow. From my first position. That's going to take a while. So I've been, as you said, I have been in the Salesforce world for a little while now, not too long, about 3 or 4 years. Previously, I've done software development. I've worked in project management. I have... If we're going all the way to the back, I worked in an insurance company. I'm from Israel originally, so I also served in the Israeli Defense Forces going way back. And really, most of my career has been around the software development database application space using a piece of software that many people probably not have heard of called Magic. Which is in some ways a little bit similar to Salesforce, but in other ways not. But when I made the transition to Salesforce, it was very natural for me because I already had the business analysis and software development skills under my belt. So, yeah, so that's a little bit about my history.
Yeah, great. And also, just for any listeners who aren't too familiar with what Salesforce is, could you give us a quick overview of what that technology, that software actually does?
Yeah, so Salesforce, I think it's still defined as a CRM, customer relationship management software. It actually isn't a software, it's a platform, it's cloud-based. I think it was about 16, 17 years ago that it started, and it was... designed from the very beginning as a cloud-based platform, which means that all the processing and the storage is done in the cloud. This was very, very different to how software used to work. And in a lot of companies, it's still the legacy that that you have client server software. So you install something on your PC and you have a server in your workplace and the communication is all internal. So cloud-based allows, for example, for anyone to log in from anywhere. And nowadays Salesforce is much more than a CRM. It's a business process tool, I suppose. It encompasses sales and service and customer support. And there is marketing cloud and Pardot, and there is health force and finance force. So so it's a platform that comes very, very rich with functionality out of the box. And people like me, like a Salesforce administrator or business analyst, Salesforce developers, and there's a whole range of Salesforce professionals, our job is to manage the platform, to enhance it, to adapt it to the relevant business needs and to make sure that it enhances the processes of the organizations we work with.
So could you talk to me a bit more about sort of your day-to-day role at The Challenge, what you do there and how you use Salesforce with that company?
So The Challenge is, just to give a bit of background, The Challenge is a national charity. We are the biggest delivery partner of the National Citizen Service. The National Citizen Service is a government program that is designed to introduce young people to a more inclusive society. So we are about social integration. So that means that young people get to come on residential programs every summer and autumn. It's a sort of a 3-week program where they get to do like a personal challenge, a team challenge, and a community challenge. So they learn a lot about themselves. They get to know people that they normally wouldn't get to know in their day-to-day life and their normal environment. And we are a national charity. We're a very big charity. And we have been, last year, for example, we took almost 40,000 young people through the program. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, our Salesforce system has to deal with all of that. So we've got a large and complex system. Mm-hmm. It deals with the processing of young people and what they need, because we also make sure that we include as many young people as possible. So people with disabilities, health issues, we make sure that we include as many of them as possible. So we have to go through a very strict process of processing their data. Mm-hmm. So we do all that. And then we also recruit quite a lot of summer staff, temporary staff that come in to deliver our programs. And all of that is managed through Salesforce. So as you can imagine, it's a big system. It's a complex system.
Yeah.
My role as a senior Salesforce systems manager and also recently an information security lead is to make sure that our main Salesforce projects get done. So, for example, data retention, making sure that we only store the data that we are supposed to store. Looking at system cleanup, encrypting and securing the data that we have. And all of that is part of my role. I also look after, it's not the focus of today's conversation, but I also look after the different elements that are to do with data security around Salesforce and generally in the organization to make sure that the data that we process is as safe and secure as possible, because every business needs to do that, but we deal with young people information, we deal with sensitive information, so we need to make sure that all of that is as secure as possible.
Yeah, of course. Let's dive into this a bit more, because it's quite interesting. You're not the first person who's worked in a charity nonprofit sector on the show. We've had quite a few data scientists and data professionals who've worked in charities. Introducing tech into the nonprofit sector, do you find that has specific challenges? Do you think the charity sector is usually playing catch up with tech in other areas or other industries? And how do you think tech is changing the nonprofit charity sector?
Well, it's interesting because it depends what charity you're looking at. I mean, this is my second role within a charity as a Salesforce administrator or business analyst. And the charity I worked for before, they relied heavily on donations. Mm-hmm. And there was also about 50% of the revenue came from delivering contracts. Mm-hmm. So they had a mixture of engaging with private and corporate donors and engaging with service providers like local councils and the NHS and all of that. At the Challenge, we are mostly funded by the National Citizen Service Trust. Mm-hmm. So we do very little fundraising, if at all. I am not aware if we do any of that. And the challenges that we face in terms of technology, I would guess that they are similar to the challenges that any organization faces in terms of how do you make the technology and the fast changing world of technology relevant in the context of the organization. Mm-hmm. So for a not-for-profit of our scale and our sort of style of funding, this is about making sure that the system allows us to deliver mm-hmm. what we need to deliver. So obviously there is the core Salesforce systems. There are other providers that we work with in the Salesforce ecosystem. So for example, for managing our phone calls and recording all the information around our phone calls, we use a third party mm-hmm. provider from the App Exchange to send our SMSs. We use another provider. So we look at what's out there that we can't easily do and what we need support with, mm-hmm. and we go out there and we source that. Obviously, it's all also down to budgets, mm-hmm. and all of that, and no organization wants to waste money, but they're probably organizations that are not charities have, if they're doing well, they will have more funds. Yeah. So we always deal with the balance between what we have to deliver and how much it costs us. We have had a fairly big Salesforce team, which is, again, not so common in the charity sector, because a lot of charities are not big enough to warrant a big team. Mm-hmm. But we have, as I said, we have a complex system, so we've had a big team, but that has reduced in size. So it's a constant balancing act between, you know, how much funds we have, mm-hmm. and how much work we need to do, and it's we always have to balance this out. I think for organizations that raise funds from donations, and definitely in the last organization I worked for, they wanted to look at the whole relationship that they have with their supporters. So instead of looking at people as people who donate when they feel like it, maybe get involved in certain events, maybe not, really step it up and treat the whole situation differently from a strategic perspective. So looking at supporter engagement rather than just asking for money. So looking at how we can get supporters engaged in the activities of the charity, its main vision, its main aims. And for that, you also need technology. You also need technology that will allow you to engage with potential supporters, depending on their age group. There will be different ways of engaging with them, obviously social media and different ways to the traditional ways of engaging with supporters. So you have to use technology in order to make all of that happen. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult to get the engagement, and you need to be able to engage with people on the level and the technology and means that they would like to engage with. So you have to open up everything that you are doing and look at it from a different perspective, especially if you are a well-established charity who their age base is older and you want to get more engagement from young people. So all of that is and charities need to behave and act like businesses. Charities are businesses. They have a service to deliver. They need to fund it. And the only difference, I suppose, is that the charity, the customers of the charity are not the ones who are paying mm-hmm. for the service. So that's a different business model. But a lot of charities would probably not survive if they didn't act and behave as a business.
I want to move on now and talk about how your roles expanded during your career. I think we touched on this previously. You just obviously mentioned the data security work you've been doing at the Challenge as well. So yeah, how has your role expanded during your career?
So yes, it's been a ride. It's been interesting. I actually haven't heard of Salesforce until, I think, 2016. And I was sort of in between jobs and I didn't quite know what to do next. I wasn't going to carry on with the software mm-hmm. development roles I've done in the past for various reasons. I did some project management. I did all sorts of different things. And then somebody mentioned Salesforce. So I went and had a look. And what is unique in my eyes about Salesforce, and I certainly haven't encountered it anywhere else, is the mm-hmm. community. So when I first heard about Salesforce and I started to Google and search and see what I could find, and I came across a meetup, a user group meetup, and I signed up and I went along, and And I started to talk to people and ask them, well, how do I get started? How do I learn this? And it was at the time that Trailhead was, I think, fairly new. And Trailhead is the learning platform that Salesforce provides for anyone who wants to learn Salesforce. It's very, very comprehensive. At the time, it was new, so there was quite a lot on it, but not as much as we have today. And it's very, very comprehensive. It's anything from business modules through to administration and configuration, through to developer, equality, diversity. You can almost find anything on Trailhead. So I started to, I had some time, I was between jobs, and I started to study. I just sat at home and studied. And at some point, and it was a natural transition for me because I was, as I said, I did software development in the past, mostly database applications. I understood databases, I understood data relationships, and it all made perfect sense to me, but I wanted to have some hands-on experience. Mm-hmm. And I think I sort of knew that if I didn't have even a little bit of hands-on experience, it wouldn't be that easy for me mm-hmm. to find, you know, my next job. So I didn't quite know what to do, but I did hear that Salesforce is present in the charity mm-hmm. sector. And I thought to myself, well, charities, they'll probably be happy if I volunteered. So let's try and find a charity that would agree for me to volunteer mm-hmm. there. And it wasn't that easy, but I did. I just searched on Google Salesforce charity jobs. I sort of worked out which were the charities that that use Salesforce, and I called mm-hmm. all them. One of them came back to me and said, yeah, please come over. So I ended up working with a charity called mm-hmm. Only Connect. I volunteered with them for 3 months. I went in and I looked at their system and, you know, sort of tidied up what they needed tidying up and created a work list and delivered some improvements. And during that time, I kept studying and I kept networking, and that's how I found my first job. So and it's a kind of story that it took mm-hmm. guts for me to do some cold calling, because that's not something that I do. I'm not a salesperson, and I didn't quite know what to expect and what I would mm-hmm. find, but I sort of knew that I needed, for myself even, I needed to have this hands-on experience. I needed to have behind me the knowledge to get that first job. And that's how it happened. And I think a lot of people nowadays, I see that when I, because when we are looking for new people and I speak to people at the different user groups, they say, oh, can we volunteer? And I think people need to understand that for a charity to take on a volunteer isn't mm-hmm. as easy as it sounds. You need to have commitment. You need somebody to onboard you. Different charities obviously have different procedures. And there is, you have to rely on the volunteers' commitment, because you're not paying them. So you have to rely on their commitment to show up and do the work. And you have to have the time to onboard them and to manage them. But, you know, it was possible for me, and I'm happy to have been given that chance. And I think it's just there is a conversation nowadays in the Salesforce ecosystem about how do new people start, because everyone can go on Trailhead and everyone can do modules and badges, and it's all around the gamification of it. So, you know, you collect badges and you go through the different levels. But that doesn't prove to anyone that you really know how to deal with real life situations. And that's something that is a conversation in the Salesforce ecosystem. How do we bring new people in? Because the Salesforce ecosystem wants mm-hmm. new people. But how do we bring them to a level that they are useful for an organization? And that's, I think, is still an open question. I don't think it has an answer yet.
Yeah, that's really great. I know we wanted to chat a bit about community and networking. So it's really interesting to see that the Salesforce community was instrumental in finding you your first role. Is there a very open source, collaborative nature to Salesforce? Is it a really good sort of ground for networking? And is it a very collaborative sort of community?
Very much so. I mean, this is something that that really took me by surprise when I first started to get involved with the Salesforce community. There is a concept that Salesforce itself promotes, which is called Ohana, which is, mm-hmm. I think it is a Hawaiian word for community or something like that. And mm-hmm. it's a very, very strong concept. It filters down from Salesforce corporate to all the different user groups. The user groups are supported by Salesforce, and it's an extremely collaborative space. A lot of Salesforce administrators are, you know, that they are a single Salesforce administrator in their organization. So they don't have, I feel very fortunate to be working within a team now, but my first job, I was the only one in the entire organization. So I didn't have anyone around me to ask questions and to bounce ideas from. What I found extremely valuable was the community. So both online and offline, I would ask questions of online. I would get answers. I would, you know, people would point me in the right direction. Very, very supportive. And then offline in meetups, physical meetups and different events that are mostly organized by the different user communities. The friendships and the networking and the ability to tap into other people's networks and to other people's skills and level of knowledge is, I have never encountered that in any of the different sort of industries or areas that I've worked with in my career. I think it's pretty unique, and it works extremely well within the Salesforce community.
Yeah, that's a really, really concise answer. Thanks for that. You find a lot of tech communities, they aspire to this sort of open source, sharing, collaborative sort of way of working. I'm currently learning JavaScript, and you get similar things around the meetups in Manchester. So yeah, it's always good to know that this sort of helping other people succeed goes across the board. Moving on, can you tell us a little bit about your volunteering and how it's impacted your Salesforce journey?
So one of the things, obviously, I shared already, the volunteering that I did at Only Connect was great to build my self-confidence around knowing that I could do the hands-on stuff, even if I didn't know everything, and it's impossible to know everything in the Salesforce ecosystem. And it gave me a sort of an anchor for that activity, and to be able to know that the more I do that, the closer I get to finding my first job, and then jobs after. I've also recently finished mentoring a person that has been part of the Supermums program. The Supermums program is run by Economic Change, which is a small Salesforce consultancy specifically working with the not-for-profit sector. They have a program that is designed to bring in mums, but it's also dads or anyone, I think, who wants to participate, to bring them into the Salesforce ecosystem, train them so that they can be at least an entry-level Salesforce administrator, and then to be able to find either flexible or part-time or full-time job, whatever works for them. And they take them through the program, and they rely on volunteers to do some of the training, to do some of the mentorship. So I was mentoring one of their participants recently. We finished, and I was taking him through the program. I mean, he had his lessons and his homework, and I was supporting him with doing his homework and any questions he had. Also introduced him to the Salesforce Ohana. So recently we had an event in Amsterdam, and he came along, and he was really blown away by the community and everything that it provided. So I think that volunteering is a great way to get involved. I don't particularly like the term give back, because I haven't taken anything away from anyone, so I don't need to give back anything.
Yeah.
But it's a great way to get involved. It's great to be able to see other people learn and thrive, and to be able to support them. It's also important to me, and obviously different people will have the things that are important to them, to have where I work, it's a charity, and I sort of found myself in the charity sector. It wasn't a plan of mine. I found myself there. But what I've always liked to do is to know that where I work makes a difference in the world. And I work behind the scenes. I work on the systems. I don't work at the front line. That's for people with completely different skill set to mine. But whatever I do makes a difference, because it makes a difference to the organization I work with. And then the organization I work for makes a difference in the world. So that's the way I like to see it. I like to know that whatever I'm doing has some sort of meaning in the world.
We wanted to talk a bit about mentoring as well. You've just said you'd finished mentoring somebody. How did that come about? And I suppose, what's your step-by-step guide for other people who are wanting to become a mentor?
So how did it come about? I have been following economic change for a while. I know some of the people who work there. I know the person who has founded it. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point they published on their website that they were looking for mentors, and I filled in a form, and they had my details, and it took a little while before we found a mutual time that worked, and I came on the last program that I think is finishing at the moment. So that's how I started. I know, though I don't know the details, but within the Salesforce community, there is also an initiative for mentorship, mm-hmm. That people can sign up for. So really anyone who has a certain level of knowledge can mentor. You'd have to want to do it. I think one of the best things, if you want to learn something, is to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you teach stuff, or when you mentor somebody, you find that you learn as well from that. I think the most important thing is to have a structure. For me, if it wasn't for the structure that was provided by the Supermoms program, I would have probably found it more difficult to do it all off my own back. So there was a structure. The program itself had its own structure, and I was fitting into that structure, and they arranged for me to become a mentor, for my mentee to connect with me. So I didn't have to go looking for one, for a mentee. He didn't have to go looking for me. It was part of the program. And I think, I suppose the same is relevant for the Salesforce user community program. There is somebody's organizing a pool of people that want to be mentored and a pool of people that want to mentor, and then they connect them, and then they take it from there. So I think if somebody wants to be a mentor and they don't know where to start, or don't want to do the whole searching and creating the structure and the framework and all of that themselves, join a program, join an existing program, and make yourself available. You'd need to obviously take into account the fact that it requires probably a weekly, but when you're talking about hands-on doing Salesforce work, so it probably requires a weekly commitment of probably an hour or 2 hours. So you need to make yourself available for that. You need to build the relationship with your mentee, encourage them, make sure that they have everything that they need. And then once you establish that pattern and that relationship, it can be very rewarding.
Cool. Excellent. It's been a really great discussion today. I think we can wrap things up by asking you if you have any further reading, listening or watching suggestions for anyone who's looking to get into mentoring or Salesforce training.
I think Trailhead is the sort of natural place to go to in terms of reading, and Trailhead is very interactive. So you learn a subject and then you answer a quiz, or you actually build something and the platform checks it for you, and then you get your badges and you finish your modules and you move on. So as a training tool, definitely Trailhead. There is a lot of information out there. Salesforce Ben is a blog that I follow. He is one of the MVPs. MVP stands for Most Valuable Person, I believe, which is a title that is given by Salesforce to people who are doing an outstanding service for the user community. So he has a blog that I follow, and there's loads of blogs, both from people in the UK and people in the US. There are podcasts that people can listen to, depending on where they focus. There is a podcast I listen to by Francis Pinder and Anoop. I forget his last name. They are both developers, Salesforce developers. So if somebody wants to learn a little bit about release notes and different tips and new things in the more in the developer world, then they can definitely listen to that. There are podcasts around the admin mm-hmm. space. And mentorship, as I said, if somebody wants to become a mentor, either contact Economic Change to register for the program. They're always looking for more mentors. Or find out through the London user community. There is a program that I think the registration is now closed, but I'm sure they do it in sort of waves. So maybe you can put yourself down on a waiting list or something like this. That's, I think, as much as I can think of at the moment.
Great. For all our listeners as well, obviously we'll link to all them resources in the show notes that go along with the podcast. But I think that is everything. It's been a really fun chat today, Nitzan. Thanks for coming on and sharing your experiences of Salesforce and mentoring. Thanks. It's been a really, really insightful, fun show.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this Venturi's Voice podcast. You can find links to any resources mentioned in the episode in the show notes on our website. If you enjoyed the show and want to hear more, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. We also have a Slack community, which you can join via the link on our homepage at venturi-group.com. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you again.